Mr. Alexander, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
It's great to join you.
With 3 weeks to go until Election Day, how are your campaign is proceeding?
Well, we're working very hard. We're doing the traditional things of going to train stations and shopping centres and the villages and engaging with the community that we've worked for the last 6 years. And we continue to listen to understand what the needs are of the community. And in fact, an interesting one this morning at the Denniston train station was the request that they need a lift for some people who live in the area, elderly people who live in the area. And while the station master knew it wasn't a federal issue, I said, oh, well, we can engage with the state minister, Victor Dominello, because we made an agreement to have the three tiers of government work together. So if it wasn't a local issue, but it was an approach to us, well, then we would write to the local council or the state member to proceed with these requests. So I think it was a very legitimate request. It's needed, and I think we can progress that.
So on the campaign trail, what are people's main concerns and expectations? Their concerns predominantly are on local or national issues?
Look, everybody has an opinion and has some things that might concern them personally. But if you ask away from those personal issues that concern them, if you ask them what are the things that concern the well-being of the country, they will tell you that they are very interested in having secure employment, and they understand it's been a gradual process that the reduction of taxes for small businesses empowers small businesses to have the opportunity to employ more people if by employing that extra person, the business can grow. And that's where the term jobs and growth comes from. It comes from our reduction of small business tax. And I think that is gaining a broad understanding. I think there's also a very vivid understanding of the volatility of the economy, and that we need to do things very carefully, with great consideration, with prudence. And I think there's an understanding that the management of the economy, as we are doing, particularly in regard to housing, when our policies are in consideration of what the regulators, APRA, has done regarding bank lending to investors to cool down the market, and what the Reserve Bank has done to give lower rates to help home buyers into the market, is stabilizing and rebalancing that market in favor of the home buyer, whereas in recent years the investor has dominated. So it's very important while you rebalance that you don't upset the market, because in most people's opinion, who know about real estate markets and the volatility of our market, which has been overheated, to do what Labor is suggesting by getting rid of negative gearing on anything but new properties, is not only a catastrophic policy, but the timing of it could not be worse because of the volatility in the market. So I think people are very concerned about their property. Most people either own a property or they've invested in a property, and if not, they rent a property. And if you do away with negative gearing, well, then the investor has to get a higher return. And so therefore, there's rental pressures up. But at the same time, if you take away the marketplace, 35% of the marketplace, and the basis, the economic basis on which the market is established through negative gearing, then you are inviting a very severe downturn that could be enormously damaging for anybody who owns a property.
So what are the main issues you are campaigning in Benelong, and consider your priorities for the next term if re-elected?
Well, I think the jobs and growth, we have 7,412 small businesses operating in Benelong, all of which will benefit from reduction in tax. And so that's a very important employer in our region. It's a major contributor to our local economy, and they will benefit. Equally, if taxes were to go up, they would be looking at reducing employment and contracting their businesses. And so the opportunity on one side has never been a clearer decision whether to vote for Labor or the Liberal coalition. The Liberal coalition is offering the opportunity of employing more people to grow your business. Labor is going to tax you more, which will have you looking at how do you reduce expenditure, and one way is to employ fewer people. So it's a very clear decision. I think the experience with the previous Labor government that saw the economic catastrophe of converting money in the bank and us being, Australia being a credited nation, to being in huge debt that was structured, that this is not the party for the day, that this is a recipe for disaster. And I think those big issues are easily understood. Sometimes the advantage of having a conversation and answering people's questions is invaluable, because they will get far more information than what they might get in a 30-second ad. But we think we can often refer to those ads to explain what the shorthand is in the ad, to explain how the jobs and growth are actually affected.
Mr. Alexander, you've been the sitting member since 2010. What do you consider your main achievements in Bennelong you want voters to take into consideration?
Well, we have worked very hard in the local community. When I first became a member, the very first thing I did was to form the three levels of government with the state members and the local councils, so that we could never be accused of saying to anyone who approached us, no, that's not a federal issue. We will take it up and we will work together so that we can answer concerns and take action. The second thing, this was at the height of the global financial crisis, was that we started the Bennelong Village Business Campaign, where we understood that small businesses were not only suffering from difficult economic times, but also there were some unfair competitive practices by major supermarkets like Coles and Woolworths with discounted milk to attract customers. And so we formed the Bennelong Village Business Campaign, where we feature a village. There's 20 villages in Bennelong, and we would pamphlet the area, advertising the small businesses, advertising the 10 reasons why it's good for the community to shop locally. And we offered those businesses a 33% discount in local advertising in the Weekly Times. So we've been active with a policy that we have continued to work at. Our last village, which we just completed, was only a week or so ago at Cox's Road, where, again, we did a letter drop to over 2,000 homes in the region after getting permission from all of the shops operating on Cox's Road to put their advertising on our mail out, that we personally letter dropped and door knocked to distribute and to talk to people about the importance of shopping locally. We then went to a situation where we were concerned that students at schools were not always engaging in sports, and therefore some ethnic groups were being left out of what you'd call traditional Australian sports. And in talking to the Australian Asian Association of Bennelong, we came up with the idea of establishing table tennis in all the schools as an activity that all students could engage with, so there'd be no restriction across cultures. We were able to get sponsorship from Hyundai to put tables in all 40 schools and get students playing table tennis with each other socially, playing competitively. All those schools compete in the Bennelong Cup, and the best players from each school come and play at ELS Hall in October in the Bennelong Schools competition. And it has been a wonderful success, and it has achieved its goal and continues. We've done it now for 6 years. We have an international competition as well that Japan, Korea, China, Malaysia and New Zealand and Australia played in last year. We play one match in the Great Hall in Canberra to welcome the players, and the Prime Minister attends, and then we play the three remaining days with the schools competition at ELS Hall in Ryde. So we think that's been a great activity. And then we started off with a program called Bennelong Gardens, which was originally to give people who were retired and may have moved into an apartment, no longer had a garden, the opportunity to have recreational gardening and the opportunity to engage socially, because there was some social isolation in moving from their homes to apartments. And then in conversations with Achieve, which is an organization that provides accommodation and work experience for people with disabilities, their opinion was that gardening was the best vocation for people with disabilities, that it had a therapeutic benefit, and that people with disabilities did much better when they worked with people who did not have disabilities. So we decided to marry together the people who were wanting to participate, senior citizens, with those who would actually own these gardens and take the profits of the produce. So we approached the state government if we could be granted land, and they agreed to allow us to use land that has been reserved for the Cumberland County Road. And there is a vast amount of land, over 80 acres, that is available to us. We have selected the first site at Kent Road, and we hope to be planting very soon and have this dream of ours come into reality. We've got a lot of people who have donated money to help it get started. Australian Native Landscape have offered to sponsor and assist in the creation of the garden, and Harris Farm have also been very generous in offering to market our produce in their shop. So it's a great project, and we think we looked at the needs of the electorate and found a way creatively to address those needs. So on the local front, those things have been very important. The biggest issues here are congestion and overdevelopment, and so I have been placed as chair of the Infrastructure, Transport and Cities Standing Committee. We have made an inquiry into the impacts of infrastructure on land values and value capture, and we are working very hard to develop a federal government value capture system to sustainably fund infrastructure to align the federal government, the state government and the councils, landowners and developers, so we can affect long-term planning for both infrastructure and for land use. So that we will have a plan that everybody can understand, that our local amenity will be protected, and that we will all know well in advance that high-rise development or densification will only happen around infrastructure like train stations and the like.
Mr. Alexander, is Bennelong a safe Liberal seat since, except in 2007, it was held by the Liberals?
No, I don't think, with very, very few exceptions, I don't think any seat is safe for either the Liberal Party or the Liberal Coalition or for Labor. And I think that's correct. I think people should look very carefully at the policies that the two parties present, the trustworthiness to deliver on their policies and make decisions. I call people who are rusted onto one party or the other, I call them state of origin. And I don't think it's healthy to just back your party because that's who your father backed or your grandfather or your mother or whoever else. I think we really want people to look at the policies and make their mind up based on the suite of policies. And if Australians do that, when you look at the comprehensive nature, the deep thought and consideration that has gone into the raft of policies being presented by the Liberal Coalition, as opposed to the flightiness of Labor, the commitment that Labor has to spend more and more and more that is unfunded, to make spending promises that cannot be met, is unconscionable, particularly at this time when the economy is in or going towards a precarious situation. And while Gwen Stephens, the governor of the Reserve Bank, says we are not in an emergency at the moment, but if there were international difficulties, we don't have any room for error. And so we should not be in that vulnerable position. And that's why any of the advisors that have given advice to the government, the regulators, say that we need to get our house in order. We must reduce debt. We must reduce spending.
Mr. Alexander, about your relations with the Armenian community, you've been quite active relating issues that concern the Armenian community. How do you see the Armenian community in your electorate?
love the Armenian community because they are absolutely the most principled people and ethical people, hardworking people that you'd ever meet. They've added to the diversity of our culture. They have very, very strong faith and family standards that we can all aspire to. And I have many friends in the Armenian community, and we share some tragic history in that just over 100 years ago, when our troops were landing in Gallipoli and facing a terrible foe, Armenia was facing Armenians in the Ottoman Empire of the day, were also facing a terrible foe. And it was Australian soldiers who first gave witness to the atrocities, to the genocide of the Armenian people by the Ottoman Empire. And I have spoken in Canberra, in Parliament, several times about the need to recognise this, and we've had any number of meetings with interested parties to try to work our way through this. Now, I put forward a motion, must have been nearly 2 years ago, that both Paul Fletcher and Malcolm Turnbull spoke on, so we know that the Prime Minister is now sympathetic, and I think in the new term that we will work more to have these things resolved, and so that we can all live and trade harmoniously together. And I think that's the outcome that needs to be concentrated on, that if Armenia and Turkey can normalize their relationships and start to develop good trading relations, that personal engagement will then allow us to mend the past sins of our forebears.
Mr. Alexander, thank you for your time and the interview, and wish you all the success in the upcoming elections.
It's very nice talking with you.